Welcome to Home and Family Finance with Paul Berry. It's your family, it's your finances, and it's your future. Home and Family Finance is sponsored by the Defense Credit Union Council, serving those who serve our country, and by CUNA, the Credit Union National Association. Now, here's the host of Home and Family Finance, Paul Berry.
As always, a pleasure to be with you here on Home and Family Finance on the Radio America Network. I am your host, Paul Berry, and delighted to have you here again this week. You must have liked what you heard last week. You're back today. And I can tell you we have a doozy today as well. As we always do, we start the program, which is based entirely on financial literacy. We start the program with asking you the simple question, are you financially fit? Are you financially fit? Do you understand what that means? Let me tell you what it means. Are you making more than you spend, or are you spending more than you make? And you'd be surprised the number of people that actually, on a month-to-month, year-to-year, decade-to-decade basis, spend more than they make. But if you're going to be financially fit, you have to make more than you spend. And secondly, do you have at least 6 months of survival money saved up? Now, what I want you to do is to add up all of your expenses, what it costs you from your rent or your house note, electricity, gas, insurance, everything. On a monthly basis, add up the totals of that. And then for the next 6 months, I want you to set that aside or try to in a savings. And this is your survival funding. Okay, so that you know that at the end of this week, if the boss comes in and says, I'm sorry, but we got to let you go, you have 6 months of money that will allow you to pay your bills, that you're going to survive for 6 months. Okay, that's so important. You want to be financially fit? You've got to have that in place. And finally, in that vein, I want you to have at least 3 months of what we call emergency money saved. So once you've got your survival set up, then you set up your emergency fund, okay? And these monies are not to be spent. They can be invested as long as it's a safe investment. But these are there sitting ready for you on a moment's notice. And your emergency fund is, try to do the same thing so that everything is in place. In the twinkling of an eye, something will happen. It happens all the time. How many times have you said, did you hear what happened to so-and-so? And it could be something about you or your loved ones. So an emergency fund allows you to take care of things that you had no idea that they were going to happen. Okay, that's part of being financially fit. And finally, the last segment of this, which is, I guess, the most important maybe in many ways, are you saving at least 5% of everything you make every month? Don't be like me. I didn't save. And then I had to reach out to others to help me because I hadn't properly saved. Look, I'm like you, like everybody else in this country. Most of us, less than 5% of the population in this country can say that they are truly financially fit. So don't feel like the lone stranger, because there are lots of folks like you and me out there who need to do this. So I want you to save at least 5% of your income on a monthly basis. Okay? That's what I mean by being financially fit. It's very simple. Nothing tricky about that. Do what I've asked you to do. Okay? Spend less than you make. Okay? Put away your survival and your emergency funding and save 5% of your money. And you can invest that if you want, but it's not to be touched. Those funds have to be saved. That's being financially fit. You know, a couple of things that we don't talk about on the show. But I want to do that today. One of those is we that are certain in our lives: death and taxes. Now, I've shared with you tax information so many times, and I will continue to do that to make sure you're financially fit. But I must admit, and I confess to not being so ready to talk to you about, so willing to talk about death. And you know, those two things are going to happen to you. You're going to have to pay taxes to somebody, unless you are running for president, and maybe you figured out a way to get around that. But the other thing that's going to happen to all of us is death. We're all going to die sooner or later. October marks Family History Month. And what better time to take a step back to reflect on how well you know the ones you love, and how well you are prepared to deal with what they would like to happen. So, according to a survey by Harris Interactive, 87% of American adults are interested in learning about their family histories. That means that only 13% actually know the history of their families well enough to take care of the wishes of the loss of a loved one. But most of us would say that we know our family pretty well. Maybe we know their friends, favorite sports teams, nicknames, what they think about their kids. But what if you don't know all of the important memories that built the foundation of your loved one's life? Think about that. Do you really know? Do you really know? You know, recently I said to my wife, I said, you know, I think I really, I've thought about it, and like my father, I think I want to be cremated. Oh, what? You want to? Are you sure? I said, you know, we've been married for 28 years. Do you know what I want? And she said, well, I thought I did, but we really haven't had that conversation. And folks, that's the problem. We don't have that conversation. Well, today my guest is going to have that conversation with you. He is Randy Anderson. He is a funeral professional, and I'm so pleased to have him on here. Now, this is a different strategic approach to getting us to talk about this. Randy owns a funeral home in Alabama, Radney's Funeral Home. If you think you want to be planted by Radney, by Randy, you know, you can certainly head south, and maybe you can take care of your business. But whatever. What he is here to talk about is the things that you ought to be talking about before you get there. Randy, welcome to Home and Family Finance.
Glad to be here, Paul.
I am glad to have you on the show. And when we come back after a break here, let's get into some of this, what we should be talking about, how we get started, and the things that we don't know that we should know. And I really appreciate you being with us. Randy Anderson, funeral professional at the Radney's Funeral Home in Alabama. He's going to join us in just a few minutes to give us a more detailed plan on the things that you ought to talk about. As simple as that. We'll be right back with Randy, and hopefully we'll be able to answer some of those questions that you need to know about. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry. We'll be right back.
We want you to be part of the show. Email us with your financial questions. Ask about the Defense Credit Union Council. Tell us what topics you want to hear about. Or just let us know what's on your mind. We'll give you the address in a few minutes. But now, more of Home and Family Finance with Paul Berry.
Hey, you know, I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. I did not know that October is Family History Month. So if you were saying, I didn't know that, well, neither did I. But thanks to the professionals out there that work with Randy Anderson, who's my guest. He is a funeral professional. His funeral home is in Alabama. But he, like funeral professionals all across the country, all deal with the same issue, and that is our reluctance as Americans, and probably as people from all over the world, don't want to talk about the one thing that we know that's going to happen to us. We're all going to die. We're all going to die, and we ought to make it as easy as we can on those around us. Randy, why don't we talk about this?
I think, Paul, the reason a lot of people don't speak about their end-of-life questions and desires is because we just try to stay away from death, and we're afraid to talk about that particular part of our lives, which is most definitely a part of our lives. We've found in a survey conducted by the Funeral and Memorial Information Council that 89% of adults over 40 feel that a discussion about their end-of-life wishes would be meaningful.
But, and yet they don't have it, right?
Right, yet they don't have it.
Okay. Well, that's the part that I think we have to fix. That's the part that I know that you, that this whole program, this strategic approach to Family History Month is about getting people to talk, have that, as you say, the talk of a lifetime. And what you're saying is, as I understand it, you're asking to ask people, what is your proudest achievement, or what was the one piece of advice you might want folks to know? Something about you which begins the conversation. Is that the way it works?
That's exactly right. The Funeral and Memorial Information Council has developed this program and launched the Had the Talk of a Lifetime program to raise awareness, to educate families on how to have those meaningful conversations about how they want to be remembered.
Now, when you say having that conversation, give me an idea of how we start that.
We can start that conversation in many ways. Sometimes it's just simply asking a question. I was privileged just a few days ago. A family called me as a funeral service professional to come into their home and help them plan their end-of-life services, their memorial services. And I got to act as a facilitator for I have the talk of a lifetime. That doesn't happen very often in our lives, but as funeral directors, but we were sitting there, and I was able to facilitate that have the talk. The daughter of the gentleman that was speaking said, "Dad, I never knew that about you."
Mm-hmm.
Those are some of the things that we need to start driving toward to get people to have those talks and ask those questions. In order to properly remember those people at the time of their passing.
And, you know, it's a matter of assumptions. You know, we have assumptions that that we know more than we know. That we know.
Right.
I mean, and the point is that we don't know because we haven't taken the time to ask the question, because I think there's the fear that it'll be, you know, it's going to be a downer. It doesn't have to be a downer. There's nothing
not
you can, you know, talking about it doesn't make you die sooner. Talking about it might make the death a lot more easy on your loved ones.
That's exactly right. To have the Talk of a Lifetime program focuses on helping people share their memories and maybe the lessons that they've learned, the stories of their lives, their values, interests, and experiences. It's very important to share those with your family.
And it's also important to prepare properly. I mean, you know this because you have to deal with it. How many times do people leave here unexpectedly and have no funding and leave their loved ones in a financial crisis?
Regretfully, that happens too many times. And if people have had this conversation, they at least know how their loved ones want to be cared for when they leave this life.
And there's nothing morbid from my point of view about deciding whether I want to be cremated or whether I want to be buried. And that's an important part of my feeling like somebody knows and will carry out my wishes. Isn't that right?
That's exactly right. I've had so many families, Paul, to tell me they are so glad when their family members have prearranged their services and they've had these conversations. They're so glad that this was done. I've never had a family to tell me that they wish they hadn't done it.
Interesting. Randy Anderson is my guest. I'm so proud to have him here. He's a funeral professional for Radney's Funeral Home in Alabama. We're talking about what you should be talking about before you lose a loved one. We'll be right back. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry, on the Radio America Network. You're listening to Home and Family Finance on Radio America, and I'm your host, Paul Berry. We thank you for joining us here. Our program sponsors are the Defense Credit Union Council and CUNA, the Credit Union National Association. We thank them both for their continued support of the program dedicated to making all of us financially fit, and I've explained to you exactly what that means. And if there's a topic you want to talk about or hear on this radio station and on this show, let us know at hffradio.com. That's hffradio.com. And I thank so many of you for your responses. I appreciate that. As I said to you, our program is sponsored by the Defense Credit Union Council and its member credit unions, and they believe that financial readiness equals mission readiness and supports the efforts of Military Saves in their dedication to improving the financial well-being of our troops. Military Saves, a year-round campaign that seeks to motivate, to support, and encourage military families to save money, to reduce debt, and to build wealth. Now, as part of the Department of Defense's financial readiness campaign, Military Saves acts as a resource center for information on financial education and counseling. Check out its links to useful websites for military families where they can learn better money management and can find partners who can help military members achieve their financial goals. Military Save, set a goal, make a plan, save automatically, and go to militarysaves.org for more information and take the Savers Pledge today. And, of course, you don't have to be in the military, although a lot of my audience is there, and we appreciate you, but you don't have to be in the military to save. All of us should be saving. How much? I told you. 5% of everything that you make every day of your life. Put it away. Put it away. And you'll be so happy. First of all, you're going to be surprised at how much money you actually can save and will save and how important it is ultimately to you. Life ends, as Randy Anderson, my guest, a funeral professional from Radney's Funeral Home in Alabama, can tell you, life ends no matter what we do. But you ought to be prepared, and the more prepared you are, the better it is going to be on everybody. Go ahead, Randy, about the conversations that we're talking about. What else should we know?
I think it's very important for everybody to make those plans, Paul, to be sure that your family has that communicated to them. They know exactly how you want the memorials at the end of your life to be. Everybody wants to be remembered and deserves to be remembered.
You know, you talk about the October being Family History Month, but what is November? How is that month designated?
Yeah. In November is the Have the Talk of a Lifetime month, and our program for that month is Time for Family, Time for Talk. A lot of things go on special in November, like Thanksgiving, and the National Day of Listening is in November as well. The National Storytelling Network's Celebration Day is November 19th. So this is a good time for us to have the talk of a lifetime, share with our family members our life stories and our accomplishments and the things that are important that we know need to be relayed to our family.
Somebody is going to have to handle the arrangements. So we should get to talk with you. What will that conversation with you or one of your professionals be like? What can I expect?
If a funeral service or a memorial service is prearranged, it's pretty straightforward. The person has already determined what types of services and things like that. If it's not prearranged and not pre-discussed, there's a lot of information that has to be obtained, personal statistical information, service planning. It takes a lot longer, and it's a lot more arduous if you have to start from scratch. So it's very important that families speak to each other about those issues before they become reality.
And Randy, before they become reality, will insurance cover this?
If you have the proper insurance coverage, yes, sir. Most families do have insurance to cover the cost of a funeral. There are prearrangement programs that allow people to prepay their funerals and then get some even guarantee the prices of those funerals.
And what do funerals cost? I mean, are we talking tens of thousands of dollars? Are we talking, what is it? You know, and again, these are things that people simply don't know. What should I expect? And I don't know if there's a normal, regular funeral cost, but what are we talking about?
Right. The national average, as determined by the National Funeral Directors Association, is around $9,000, between $9,000 and $10,000.
Okay. So expect that you're going to have somewhere in that cost of $9,000 to $10,000, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Give us the websites that people can go to for more information and how they can reach out to you if they want. Go ahead.
Right. The Funeral and Memorial Council Information Council has a website, talkofalifetime.org, and on that website you'll be able to obtain free downloadable guidebooks, all sorts of information that will help you start the conversation, activities that families can use to start that conversation, ways to document those stories.
Okay.
And also during the month of November we have the holiday guide for having the talk of a lifetime.
Randy, a pleasure to have you on the show. Thanks so much for joining us. Come back and see us again soon, would you please?
Thank you. Sure will, Paul.
Absolutely. Really enjoyed it. Randy Anderson, funeral professional from the Radney's Funeral Home in Alabama. And folks, we'll be back with more. Coming up, how about protecting yourself while you're here? I've got the expert, the very expert, sitting next to me. We'll be right back.
Helping you be safe, smart, and secure with your finances. Welcome back to Home and Family Finance with your host, Paul Berry.
You know, as I watch the news or listen to it on radio, whatever, I'm always remarked that the things that happen in our life and how quickly these things are happening, the changes that are going on. The terms that a few months ago, may not have meant anything to us. Cyber, digital. Protecting our own, hacking. There are tons of terms that we now must deal with on a daily basis that have some impact or can have some impact, and not all those impacts will be good on our daily lives. No one is more aware of that than the gentleman sitting next to me. We had him on the program a year or so ago, and he was fantastic. Such a reaction, because he is the cybersecurity or the strategically security, physical or whatever. Well, his company is called Strategically Armored Fortified Environments. If you safe, SAFE. And if you go online and look up Al Corby and look up, and he's a founder of SAFE, you will find out that you are now listening to a world-renowned security expert in this very changing world. Now, I have the pleasure of having known him for years, so I'm one of the few people that he's going to sit down in the studio and talk to. That's just not what they do. First of all, you got to find him. And then once you find him, you've got to convince him that he ought to be, he ought to share what he knows. But what he knows is how to protect people. Al, welcome to Home and Family Finance. Nice to have you back on the show.
Always good to be with you.
From your perspective, with all of this, all of the changes going on, how does that change what you do, or does it?
There are two aspects to security. One is the things you were mentioning in the very beginning, the cyber, the high tech, the IT, the internet, all these things that if you're over 50, you still haven't quite gotten your arms around yet. And of course, if you're 8, you do it falling out of bed.
It's natural.
It's absolutely natural. The interesting thing about the cyber world, it is changing so fast that, in my opinion, it can't be kept up with.
Wow.
So whoever's out there hacking that's really good at hacking, they're hacking faster than anybody can close those gaps because they're good at it. That's what they do. That's not good news. However, none of that stuff actually hurts you. None of it puts a bullet in you. None of it rapes you. None of it breaks into your house. It's ironic. We have this entire focus on trying to save our identity, our cyber world, all of these things. Now, don't get me wrong. If someone steals your identity, they can do a lot of damage to you financially and things like that. And I'm not making light of that. But there's no blood. The fact of the matter is, and again, in my opinion,
yes,
you can't stay above it because the people that are in that arena, they're doing it for a living. As evil as that might sound and as mean-spirited, it's almost hard for me to believe.
Yeah.
People are in there spending every moment of their day trying to figure a way to hurt you digitally. You will not be able to stay above that.
And those who are fighting this, they know that. I mean, they're aware of this.
And that's a battle that can't be won. Now, the good news is the stuff that hurts you, the stuff that breaks into your house, the stuff that kidnaps your daughter, the bad things.
Yes.
There have been answers to those since Pharaoh. The answers are there. Ironically, nobody's getting them out there. You know, you tune into the news. Everything I read, everything I see every day is what went wrong.
Yeah.
I don't once hear what could have happened to prevent it. And those solutions are out there. And by the way, you can stay ahead of the bad guys on the things that will actually physically hurt you. So if you kind of break it out into these two camps, there's the I'll call it the internet camp and the hardening camp.
Right.
The internet camp, I'm sorry. You know, you can play with it all you want. You can invest all the money you want in it. If it's your time for somebody to hack your identity, you're going to get nailed. And if it's your time to be at the gas pump and somebody's got a receiver and they pick up on your code and they get into your credit card, you're going to get nailed.
It's going to happen.
It's just going to happen. However, if you happen to be, dare I say, Kim Kardashian in Paris with $10 million worth of jewelry, which, by the way, everybody's saying, well, what the heck is she doing there with that much jewelry?
Right.
She's supposed to be there with that much jewelry.
That's her life.
This is her life. This is what she does.
If you can do it, if you can fly out of here in a jet, and if your hubby gives you a $5 million ring, what's wrong with that? And take, I'd wear it. Would you wear it?
God love you. Okay. But the point is, it didn't have to happen.
Yeah.
See, she could have been protected very easily.
And let me just set that up. So what happens, she's in Paris.
Right.
Kim Kardashian.
Uh-huh.
Her husband's in New York doing a show.
Right.
She's over there doing whatever she's doing over there. And
she's on Paris Fashion.
Okay. Okay. Right?
So they know they've got celebrities there. They know the celebrities are there with their finery because, of course, they're all there to one up the other one, which they should be doing.
Right.
So it's the perfect setting for this.
Okay, hold it right there. The perfect setting. How could you avoid this? You've heard what he said about cyber and about the digital, but he's saying this could have been avoided. When we come back, we're going to ask him how this could have been avoided, how it could not happen to you, how you could avoid it from happening to you or anyone else out there. Live your life, but Al's point of view is don't be afraid to get out because there are ways that you can protect yourself. When we come back, we'll find out what that is and some other things that he's thinking about. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry, on the Radio America Network. My guest, Al Corby. You do want to hear from him. Stay with us.
We want you to be part of the show. Email us with your financial questions. Ask about the Defense Credit Union Council. Tell us what topics you want to hear about. Or just let us know what's on your mind. We'll give you the address in a few minutes. But now, more of Home and Family Finance with Paul Berry.
My guest is Al Corby, president and founder of SAFE, Strategically Armored and Fortified Environments, SAFE, world-renowned security expert in living in a changing world. And this is fascinating because he's broken it down into kind of the digital or the cyber and the physical on the other side. And what we're talking about, Al, is Kim Kardashian is in Paris. She's at a fashion show doing whatever she's doing. They're covering her. Everybody sees it. She's wearing a $4 million ring that was given to her by Kanye West, her husband. She gets back to her apartment, which has security, we assume, although her security guy, whoever that is, was not around for some reason.
Her whole security contingent was with her sister at a nightclub.
Oh, they were. So she's staying out, hanging out. So she says, yeah, like you would say, okay, take the car. She says, yeah, take the security.
Right, which, by the way, was a reasonable thing to do.
Sure, okay. Sure. So she's in her apartment, and then all hell breaks loose.
Right. Now think about it. She's in an apartment in a building, a luxury building, but her husband, Mr. West, owns it. Now, there is a concierge. There is somebody at the front.
Right.
And, you know, that's something. That's one stage. But these gentlemen, they break in, dressed like policemen. They're armed. They subdue the concierge, and then they proceed to go into the apartment. Now imagine, Mr. West has an apartment in one of the nicer luxury buildings in Paris. And his wife's there, lovely lady with, you know, $10-plus million worth of jewels. What a target, right? Imagine if the door to the apartment had proper facial recognition on it, and the door to the apartment was impenetrable, which is very easy to do, very easy. Regardless of what that guard, that concierge, wanted to do, did do, could do, that door's not opening. So easy. It's, in fact, it's pathetic that it wasn't done. So by having facial recognition on the door, those gentlemen, armed, could not get in regardless.
Even if they had a police uniform.
Doesn't matter.
That's right.
They
can't
get in. Now, that's a much better story than the one that's in the press right now. Kim foils armed guards, holds on to the jewels, and they're embarrassed. Okay. But I like my next one better.
Okay.
You got to walk down a hallway to get to that door. What happens if they got to the door, the facial recognition recognized that they didn't recognize them,
right,
which means they're not going to open the door.
Right.
And at the other end of the hallway, it closes down.
Oh,
now they're in a man trap.
and that's possible.
Possible. It's so easy. It's like falling out of bed. Okay. Now, imagine how that would have played out. Kim Kardashian foils attempted armed robbery and smiles out her window as the police take away the assailants. I mean, that's such a better story, isn't it?
Great story.
So she not only gets to get better press for herself,
yeah,
which she would like to have, she foils something that, I mean, this could have, think about it. This could have gone a lot worse.
Oh.
You know, God forbid, I don't know the lady.
Well, she even begged them not to shoot her because she had kids.
Yeah,
I mean, that was.
I don't know her, but I feel very badly for her because no one should be in a situation like this. So if Mr. West would have just hired SAFE and had us do a security, this not only would not have happened, but it would have played out so differently.
What
it would have been fun,
absolutely.
Quite frankly.
The moment you walked in there, you would have said, oh, wait a minute here. You want her safe here or you don't? I mean, she owns the apartment. So the question is, and I get people say, yeah, but doesn't that cost a fortune? They have a fortune, but it doesn't. I mean,
well, number one, no, it doesn't cost a fortune. Two, I don't think Mr. West would have been concerned about the cost of facial and an extra door.
Yeah, yeah.
But then think about it. What she would have been able to do is control the situation, not have the situation control her. And this is something I hope all of your listeners are tuning into. Believe me, in life, you can control these situations. These events you can be in control of. Now, it's a terrible word because it's kind of taken on a bad connotation over the years, prepping. Mm-hmm. Everybody thinks, oh, if you're a prepper, you know, you have one tooth and you're living out in the woods. Not so, folks. Not so. Get prepared for life. Paul's been telling you for years how to prepare for your financial futures,
That's right.
your financial existence, good advice. Guess what? You also have to be preparing for your safety. And you can take events in your control, not for a lot of money, mm-hmm. but for a little intelligence. Take it, you know, look at the example we just cited with Miss
sure.
Miss West.
Right.
I mean, she really could have controlled that situation, and I hate to use this word, but in a fun way, quite frankly.
Way. Yeah, yeah. Because if you know you have control, then you're not going to have the fear.
You have peace of mind. You go through life so much happier.
Now, are people doing, I know some people, I know you have very, very high-priced clientele, but I also know that you also do this on a much lesser scale for people who, as you say, want to take control.
You imagine these systems are very expensive when they do everything in the world.
Right.
But remember when Oprah called us in and gave us that $1,500
yeah.
and we gave her $200 back? We secured a house in Chicago for $1,300 to the point that if anyone broke into that house, the wife and the children would be absolutely safe.
Why don't people do this? I mean,
why don't they work out every day? Why don't they take vitamins? Why don't they stop smoking?
It ain't going to happen to me. You know, I mean, I'll take the chance that it doesn't happen. But when it does happen, boy, you reflect back, I could have been in a much better situation.
Oh, wow. Hindsight.
Yeah. Do people break this down? You make it so simple because what you're saying, the physical aspects of control, of security are in place. You can do that.
Oh, yeah. Very cost effectively.
Yeah.
The cyber, I mean, you think we spend so much more money trying to protect our cybersecurity. We buy the latest iPhone, the latest I this, the latest L that, whatever, right? And you can't stay ahead of it. You can't.
Right.
You're spending much more money every year to fight something that you can't stay ahead of than you would spend to actually keep your family physically a lot less money.
Right.
Probably 2 years.
Are people beginning to understand that? Are they?
I really don't see that. The wealthy have always understood it.
Mm-hmm.
The wealthy have always had, you know, Uber security, and because they have the money to pay for it. Ironically, normal people like me, you know, the normal working guy, most of my friends don't have it until I talk to them and they go, oh, I didn't know I could do that. Then they do it. But you just have this preconception that it's out of your price range or it's out of your, you know, your wheelhouse, whatever. Once you see how affordable good security can be, it's liberating.
Right. And the other thing, point that I learned from you before is that look at sometimes the wrong things that can secure us when something else can be a lot more effective. I'm talking about going against just putting up like the windows and the other thing. When we come back, let's talk a little bit about that.
Sure.
And let's also talk about the hacking aspect as it relates to voting and et cetera in our system. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry. My guest, Al Corby, president and founder of SAFE. Strategically armored and fortified environments. You like what you hear? You like him, boy, I'll tell you. We'll tell you how you can reach out to him as well. We'll be right back. You're listening to Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry, and always pleased to bring to you topics that I think are of interest and certainly will have an impact on your life, and nothing could be more so than that than my guest Al Corby, president and founder of SAFE, a strategically armored and fortified environment. His business is all about keeping you safe wherever you may be in any part of the world, and he's already delineated the differences between cybersecurity and physical security, that one we can't stay ahead of because we've got these geniuses, and no matter what you think of them, figuring out every possible way to steal your credit card. On the other hand, we've got some very basic ways that you can protect yourself just by being smart. And that's where I want to go to a little bit of that. But before I get there, I want to talk about, we watch hackers supposedly getting involved into the voting booth, into the cycle. Does this have to happen? Can the United States protect the country from this kind of, this kind of danger?
Of course you can't. The reason you can't is because of someone. It's like when the Chinese got in, you know, a couple years ago. If they figure out how to get in, they figured out how to get in.
Right.
Now, what you can do is react to it. That's different. But if you say, can we prevent it from happening? Absolutely not.
Okay.
Because you don't know how it's going to happen. You're going to get this, you know, 14-year-old whiz kid that just is that good and figured out some kind of clever little way, and everybody's going to thump themselves on the head and go, oh, and then they're going to fill that hole. But that's going to be after the
fact. It's always post.
Exactly.
It's always post.
And that's the difference with physical security. It can always be pre.
Pre. Now, in the post, and just kind of clear, are we able to react soon enough to stop the damage from?
That we'll never know until it happens. It's
so
the
it's
same
always
thing again. It may be fast post.
right. But it's going to be post.
It's going to be post.
Okay.
It's like when the police come and take a report. You're already laying on the ground.
Yeah.
You know, it's
yeah.
it's post.
Okay, let's talk about what you do a little bit more specific, because I know people are out there saying, okay, I buy this, I hear you. How do I protect myself? Who do I call? How close do you want people to get to you in terms of reaching out to you, looking for ideas, concepts, approaches, physical devices?
Well, it's interesting. The best way is through Paul Berry. You know, if we're going to be getting the word out there, we can get more word out through the media, things mm-hmm. like that. And that's why we always accommodate the different press media. We'll go on and
talk,
you know,
about
be interviewed
it
all the time. The fact of the matter is, we're very much like dentists or doctors or lawyers or anybody else. We're one-on-one.
Yeah.
You know, if you need help, you're going to have to chat with somebody. And if it's not me, it's going to be some other, you know, knowledgeable person in security.
So there are other people out there that are.
Oh, gosh, yes.
I know that can do the job
and are
willing to do the job.
Sure, sure. There's a whole world of people out there, you know. We like to think we're on the top of the heap, and that's why heads of nations come to us. You know, the wealthiest, most powerful people in the world come to us. Well, that's an honor. Yeah, there's a reason, and that's an honor they bestowed on us. So do we have time to talk to the masses? Probably not.
Right.
You know, but it's an honor to be on your show, to be able to get the word out there, because we want to help the masses.
Yes.
We genuinely do.
And the question I asked before is, but you said, no, you don't see a tremendous increase in people calling to say, help me, or do you?
At the high end, yes.
Okay.
You know, we're constantly being called by people at the high end.
Yeah. So nothing's changed. I mean, people at the high end have they know about what you do and they contact you.
Yes. Okay. High net worth individuals want to be protected. We provide the best level of protection in the world.
Right.
Now, what that means to you and your audience is we can give the advice that will protect all of them too.
And you've done that in terms of suggesting, as you did before, is that the burglar alarm sitting outside may be a post-event. That doesn't have to be in terms of how you deal.
Well, there's so many things that the average family, like me, I did to my home. You know, average homes can be hardened much better. What you have to realize are burglar alarms tell you already have a problem. When your burglar alarm goes off, it's post.
Yeah, it's post. And what you want to do is have it pre. Al, it's a pleasure. I mean, I could talk to you about what you do, and I appreciate what you do, and to thousands of people that you've made a positive difference in their life. We thank you so much. And thank you for coming in. As I said, it's not easy to get you out of that dungeon that you the security dungeon, folks. You don't even want to go in there.
But it's a pleasure.
It's a pleasure to have you on this show. Al Corby, president of SAFE, talking to you. Folks, I hope you've learned a couple of things today. And that when you do step out, you step out purposefully doing the thing that's going to help make a difference, whether it's with a funeral director or whether it's with a security expert. This is Home and Family Finance. We're all about you here on the Radio America Network. I'll be back same time, same place. Thanks for being with us.